I'm going to ask Wayne Jackson to just feed us direction in the message, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we gather and look to you in these days, lift up your name, and Lord, I pray for the message today. Your pastor is asking what he wants to say through your Spirit. Lord, we again thank you for salvation. We thank you for your goodness, your many blessings in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As I mentioned, I want to consider with us together for a few minutes this morning the Apostle Paul really giving his testimony there in Philippians 3 and, excuse me, with a challenge to us to have a like testimony. we all come different ways to know the Lord, but just appreciate so much what he has to say about his love for the Lord Jesus. And the bottom line here, that I may know him, excuse me, that I may know him. And I want to consider that challenge where he says then in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Most translations have mature, talking about coming to the place where I've grown up into Christ Jesus, as many as would be mature, be thus minded, that you can have the same kind of attitude that I have come to concerning the Lord Jesus. And I would remind us that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. So, when he says, I pray you'll have the same kind of mindset, he really is saying, I want you to follow Christ on that. He said that to them, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ Jesus. And so he speaks about where he was before he found Christ. And he said back in verse 4, though I might have more confidence in the flesh than anybody else, I was doing everything I should have done as a Pharisee. And out of that, with my zeal, persecuting the church. I had a hatred for Jesus Christ and those that followed him. And I was doing everything I could to stand against that. And he said, in that, I had a zeal. I gave myself to what I thought was right. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day like I was supposed to be. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I was zealous. I persecuted the church, touching righteousness, thank you, sir, which is of the law is blameless. But he was able to say, I've had a chance to look at that after I met Christ. And he says there that it's not worth anything comparing knowing Christ. In just take a moment in Acts 26, he expanded on that a bit before Agrippa, when Agrippa wanted to hear his testimony, wanted to hear where he's at because so many people were now angry with him. But back in Acts 26, in verse 9, he said, I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's where he was at. I want to do everything I could against Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And we know one of those was Stephen. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelling them, being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. That's where he was. He had a belief system that he believed that he was doing the right thing, standing against Jesus Christ. And so he shares that with him. Then Jesus appeared to him. And he met Jesus on the way to do more damage to Christians. And you know the passage, he met Jesus and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And the truth was, those that came, those that he was coming against, Jesus made it clear, it was coming against me. You came against these people that believe in me and worshiping me. You were coming against me, Saul. And then he also says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. And I think what Jesus was really talking about there, you saw me in Stephen. You saw me in others when you were persecuting them. And I'm sure it was bringing a conviction to him. But now Jesus appeared to him. And so he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" It was a dramatic meeting, blinded his eyes, I think, threw him to the ground. "I am Jesus, who you're persecuting." And I try to think what it would be like. You've given your life to this one thing, to come against this person they claim is the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and now you meet him, and what happens when you're faced with truth? Well, he immediately did 180. And I just think of the trauma to his soul. Everything I thought. Now, he was religious, and so much of that was not wrong, but they were so set against the Lord Jesus Christ that they crucified him and set against the resurrection and the claim of resurrection. But now Paul turns around. He said, really had an extended, says more of what Jesus told him here in Acts 26. I just want to remind us of that. It's at Acts 26 at verse 15. And it says, "And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and the things in which I will appear to you." I think he had special time with the Lord Jesus after that, that nothing really is written about that, but he shared that with the church of Galatia, that he had spent special time with Jesus. "I've delivered you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And so in his testimony he said, "I had a crisis experience when I met Jesus. And I had to think about all the stuff that was so important to me that I'd given my life to. Very religious stuff." And it was very religious, but it was did not accept this gift of Jesus Christ for life. And so he goes on and he says, "I count all these things but loss. I just want to know Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung." I just written down some of the words in other translations. Some use the word garbage, some rubbish, some filth, a dung heap, worthless. He came on really strong about how he saw what he'd all given his life to that led him to fight against Jesus Christ. And he said, "I've done 180. I want to win Christ. I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness." He thought he was producing righteousness by his religiosity. He said, that wasn't doing it, which is in the law, but which through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I just lock into this one statement, that I may know him. That's become my whole goal in life now. I want to know him. He went on to say, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be made conformable unto his death. Whatever it means to follow Christ, I'm ready for that. And the thing that he is saying here, about getting to know him. It's a pursuit that I just know is on God's heart. He wants us to have that pursuit to know him, and I'm persuaded that's a pursuit that's going to take eternity to really get to know the depths of God. And I'd put in Hosea the verse that then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I just know that God desires that pursuit. To know him means several things. To be with him, to spend time with him. I went back and looked at in Robert Munger's little My Heart, Christ's Home called The Drawing Room. And I think Robert Munger really gives a testimony of what Jesus was doing as he invited him into his life. And he said that he had purposed to just spend devotional time with him each morning. But he says, as I got busy, one day I just was rushing by and I look and Jesus is sitting in what he called the drawing room. And he said, just stop me. And I went on, have you been here every morning? Well, I'm here as you'd agreed. We're going to meet together and we're going to pray together and I'm going to talk with you. And he said, the problem with you, Robert, is you think you need this and don't know how important it is to me. I just appreciate what he had to say on that. It's really important to our Lord Jesus Christ for us to get to know him, to spend time with him, to abide in him. Galatians 2:20, Paul went on to say, and he learned this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the life of Christ lived in me. To yoke up with him, it's become so important to me, so I'll be doing what I should. And God has a way of organizing that in a special way. But you get to know him, spend time with him devotionally, but beyond that, walk with him. And know him comes out of being with him. Not only what I need, but what he wants. And so, what Paul is saying here, I just urge you to go after that. But he also says this, I've not arrived. He's authoring, God's using him to author much of Scripture. But he says, and that I'll just share that with you, not as though I'd already attained or were already perfect or mature, but I follow after. I want to lay hold of why God laid hold of me. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of his high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it all goes back that I may know him, that I really come to know him, my dear Savior. And I don't know, I guess the thing I want to say here for Paul is probably true of all of us, that there was an exchange made. Everything I thought was so important in my life, I exchanged for the privilege to know the Lord Jesus. I thought about the church at Laodicea, the message of Jesus to the church at Laodicea, you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. You're half-hearted about me because you think it's so important to be rich and so important to be famous, so important, all these things. And what Jesus said to them in his message at Laodicea, I want you to exchange that and find true riches. I want you to exchange what you think is so important as you walk here now. Maybe it's prestige, maybe it's finances, maybe it's to be well thought of. I want you to exchange that for knowing me. And that's then he invited them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want in your life. They were a church that was talking about Jesus Christ, obviously. He said, I'm not really in the middle of it. I'm really not in your life. And he says, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and we can sup together. And you can really get to know me. So even before we partake of the Lord's Supper, and I just remind us, the Lord's Supper is for everyone who has invited Jesus as their Savior. And we're urged in the passage to the Corinthians to examine ourselves. It's not just a religious ritual we go through. It's a deep remembering what Jesus did for me as a testimony. Thank you, Jesus. You gave your life for me. And so I would just say, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I would ask that we consider where we're at. Paul's saying, I urge you to have the same kind of mindset. Nothing else in my life is more important than knowing Jesus Christ, living for him, walking with him, doing what he shows me to do, and being in fellowship with him. And I think it just makes it plain to Paul, that's what Jesus wants. It's important for me, but more than that, he wants that. So I'm just going to ask that we examine ourselves. Where are we at? That I may know him. He said, to me, that's worth it all. I don't want mine own righteousness anymore. I want his righteousness in me. And so that's my pursuit. And Paul says, I urge you to have the same attitude, the same choice. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the day you met Saul of Tarsus. Could have had a heart attack. Everything I'm doing is set against truth. And he's hit right in the face with truth. Jesus is real. Thank you that he gave his heart to you. Thank you that he gave his life to you. And Lord Jesus, as we come today in a few moments here to just remember you in partaking of the elements as a testimony of what you did for us, help us to examine ourselves. Where are we at, Lord, in our whole life goal? Nothing is more important after we receive you than to go on and know you and walk with you and be used of you. Speak to us by your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
And Lord, with you here in the midst, I want to thank you for a special group of brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you that we can fellowship together. Thank you for your plan and purpose in these days, in each life here, as we commit that to you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.